Welcome to Behind the Binge, the podcast where we bring forth much-needed conversations about binge eating recovery and ditching diet culture. I'm your host, Marissa Kaimilik, a registered dietitian, nutritionist, and binge eating coach. This is our space to dive into practical tips to heal from binge eating, challenge your diet culture beliefs, discuss the nuances of intuitive eating, and empower you to recover. Let's start exploring what's behind the binge. Hey everyone, welcome back to Behind the Binge. It's your host, Marissa. Today, I want to talk about meal prep because one of the first things that I implement with my clients when it comes to healing our relationship with food is consistent eating patterns. Now, this can put up a lot of guards for my clients where they are concerned about any sort of meal structure that can be remnant of diet culture. And I know meal prepping gets a really bad rep when leaving diet culture because everything in diet culture is pre-portioned and having a certain ratio of carbs to protein on your plate and really having specific parameters to what meal prep looks like in order to feed your body. But that is not at all how meal prep is once you become an intuitive eater. So I thought, who better to have on to talk about meal prep as an intuitive eater than the meal prep queen herself, Talia Corin. So Talia Corin is the founder of Work Week Lunch, which is a blog and digital meal plan subscription that helps thousands of people all over the world master meal prep, myself included. Additionally, she is the author of the Work Week Lunch Cookbook, which includes 60 approachable and delicious recipes that are designed to be prepped and stored. Talia is a self-taught home cook, and she started Work Week Lunch in 2016 to teach her peers how to cook easy, balanced meals to save time and money through her Instagram, which has now grown to over 495,000 followers. Before Work Week Lunch, Talia was a staff writer at Elite Daily and worked in the entertainment industry after graduating from Ithaca College in 2014. When she's not developing new recipes for Work Week Lunch meal prep program, Talia loves to travel, snowboard, binge watch TV, and go on adventures with her dog, Coconut. I know you are going to enjoy this conversation just as much as I did. It was fun. It was funny. We laughed a lot and casual. And I know you're going to feel like you're just right there with us alongside this conversation. So let's get to know a little bit more about Talia and how meal prep can support you on your journey to finding food freedom. All right. Hi, Talia. Thanks so much for joining me on the podcast today. I'm really excited to have this conversation, but I'd love it if you could just get started with telling the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited to be here. I am a meal prep expert and a new cookbook author as of a few weeks ago. I started my company Work Week Lunch in 2016 to help my peers figure out meal prep so they can get more out of life and not diet.
Absolutely. Thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
So what got you into this work specifically to create Work Week Lunch, especially around the lens of intuitive eating?
For sure. This is not the usual story, but I really just wanted to start a business. And I know that sounds a little weird to say, but I just wanted to create another stream of income. Obviously, to do this successfully, you have to help people and solve a problem. So I was working at a 9-to-5 writing trashy articles about Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift. Back when they were fighting.
And, sounds fascinating. I love really the celebrity gossip, even though it's like a guilty pleasure.
It was so fun. And I was like pegged as the healthy girl in the office. I was bringing my lunch because I wanted to save money. That was my goal, was saving money for epic adventures. I was just like, I want to be able to do this. So one of the ways was to not buy lunch at work like everyone else, but everyone's going to Cozy and Chipotle and Dig In and the Little Bead and Sweet Green. No, I was sitting there with my containers and people would come to me and they'd kind of make fun of me, but then be like, how do you do that? This looks so good. How do you do this every week? And so I kind of picked up on that. There's some kind of knowledge gap here that I could create a blog around. So I learned about online business. I started this blog, Work Week Lunch, and Instagram in 2016. And within about a year and a half, I was creating meal plans. And at first, in terms of the diet question, like I wasn't sharing calories from day one. Like I never, ever put calories on it because I'm terrible at counting at them. I mean,
It'd be just like extra work.
Yeah. And I'm just like, no, I'm not doing that. They were like, my angle was more in the healthy weight loss, but I was never fully in that. It just kind of was like, everyone was talking about that. Everyone was doing it. So I was kind of joining the conversation, but I found Christy Harrison, her podcast in like 2017. And then I realized I had that aha, like light bulb moment. Like, oh my God, I cannot be telling other women to shrink themselves. I don't want to be part of this conversation. I don't want to be part of this culture. It doesn't align with my values. And I like kind of came out to my existing audience. Guys, we're not doing this anymore. We're going to start talking about intuitive eating instead.
I love that. How was that reaction from people if you already had a little bit of a platform?
Yeah, I mean, I have, you know, like 50,000 followers at that point at least. And I think it was very positive and people were very curious. I'm sure some people left, but I honestly, I think it really attracted more people.
Yeah. For so many, it could be a relief to have something that is supporting them. And it doesn't feel like it's just another source of guilt and shame, but rather a positive way of pursuing health promoting behaviors with ease without it being so rigid and stressful.
Yeah. And I don't know about you and, you know, your story, I'm sure you shared a bunch, but when I first realized, like before I found intuitive eating officially, I kind of got to a point with my eating of like all this dieting stuff is takes up too much space in my head. And I just want to do more with my mental energy. I kind of just let it go. And I was like, I eat quote unquote healthy enough. I'm done. You know, yeah. I just like, I don't care what happens to my body at this point. I already feel good. So why am I trying to zero in and control so hard on this one thing when there's like other stuff in life? So I made that transition, I think even before or in the early days of Workweek Lunch. Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. Because it can easily become more than what it was intended to be when we like start pursuing a little bit more strictness with dieting. It's like, oh, to be a little more healthier. And it's like, well, naturally we gravitate towards more nutritious, more health conscious foods whenever we're listening to our body, because that feels good. Now that also includes balance, because health is not simply about nutritional intake. But when we put those rules and guidelines around our eating habits, it can actually spiral into quote unquote less control, even though it feels like we're giving ourselves more. And so I love that you were able to adopt that kind of flexibility as you began to develop your business. So what is a meal prep misconception that you want to debunk?
I think the biggest misconception is that you have to stick to what you meal prep and you have to do it every week and you have to do it for every meal. It's like people are very all or nothing. I am too, who isn't with things. Like when you first kind of look at a new routine, like, what is that over there? Oh, I have to go all in. Like, no, that's the biggest, like you really can do it 1 week of the month and never and not do it for weeks. You know, you could be on kind of a kick and then stop and there's no wagon. There's no like, oh, I have to get back on the meal prep wagon. Like, no, if you're enjoying your life and you just don't need to worry about like having meals done ahead of time, fine. You know, just it's a tool for when you need it.
Yeah. That flexibility, I think, is just such a crucial part of being able to reject those diet rules and that diet mentality, because that's all diet culture is. It's rules and structure and you have to do this. It's all or nothing. It's black and white. But sounds like meal prep from an intuitive eating lens just has a lot more flexibility, as it should. And so I'd love if you could share a bit more about what an intuitive eating approach to meal prepping looks like. Like what goes into meal prepping while also honoring, you know, your body?
Yeah, I think that you got to start from a place of compassion with yourself. That's the whole point. You know, you are going to feel different every day. You're going to need different amount of food every day. And you're going to have different emotions every day. And just like understanding that, leveling with yourself. So that kind of ties into meal prep, where you know you're going to have to eat, but you're going to do your best to anticipate your needs and make foods you're going to look forward to and make foods that will make you feel good. But it might not always be perfect. And that's where the compassion comes in. It's like, that's okay. You tried, you know, and that's better than not trying, I think, in a lot of ways. So I'd say that's kind of the different angle versus the fitness meal prep angle is like, you know, go to the gym, eat your chicken rice broccoli every day, like breakfast, lunch, dinner is chicken rice broccoli.
Yeah.
Miserable.
I know. It sounds so boring and like flavorless.
I watch these guys on YouTube, like these massive spreads, just like, chicken and oh my God.
That's how easy diet culture brainwashes us into thinking that eating the same thing every single day is healthier for you than eating a variety and actually getting enjoyment from food. Like having, you know, salt on your food is not going to be the end all be all to your health. And
I don't know if you have any tattoos, but if I was, I'd have one, but I would get another one that says needs more salt because everything tastes better with just a little more salt. Salt your food, guys. It's super important.
Yes. Pass the salt. Need more salt. I love that idea. Yes. Yes. I actually just got my first tattoo. I would show you over video here, but it's under my sleeve, but it's a little Clementine. Actually, it's a food.
Stop. I have mushrooms. No, like the food kind, not the other kind.
Very, very fitting of us in this food world.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's cute. So, yeah. That's so cool. Anyway, kind of getting back to
that also with meal prep versus diet meal, like intuitive eating meal prep versus diet meal prep. With intuitive eating, anything goes in your containers. If you just want to, like literally you can meal prep a bunch of Easy Mac and put it in your containers and just have, wow. And then you don't have to even worry. Like Easy Mac's already so quick, kind of doesn't, you know, it's not like the best example, but I'm just saying you don't have to do it with vegetables and like complex carbs. You just can prep what you think that week you're going to enjoy.
Yeah, I love that. Simple. It's taking out the expectations and the pressure of what it needs to be. And when you were talking about what, you know, cultivating that compassion and being just a bit more flexible with when or where or how or why you're meal prepping, it sounds like it comes down more to the intention behind it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I started to save money. Right now I do it to save mental energy. I really enjoy, because especially because I have a dog now, like I have to walk her. And so my lunch break is more about walking her than dealing with food. So I'm really happy that I have more time to like give her a longer walk and not worry about making lunch. And that's why I do it now. I mean, why do you do it right now?
Yeah, I do it for more convenience, because if it's not convenient, I tend to not eat, because it, which is so strange as me, the dietitian here trying to help people eat more consistently. But I talk about it all the time, I have ADHD. And if I am like, okay, now I should kind of tune into my body and think about, am I hungry? And I'm hungry and there's not something there that's available to me. It's like, oh, my brain just like has a really hard time piecing something together. So I'll snack a little bit, but I have a hard time meeting that full level of satisfaction. And so that's intuitive of me to think about, hey, the most supportive thing for me throughout the week is to have those ready-made, especially lunch meals that will be accessible for me to get when I'm ready to eat something or when I know I need to eat something. It's being a lot more practical. With dinner, I like to cook and play with recipes and all of that, but lunch in the middle of the workday, it would be actually not intuitive for me to just wait until I'm hungry and see what I feel like eating, because my body's told me time and time again that I will forget to eat and I will end up not eating what would be more satisfying and then get hit with those evening cravings that just aren't fun.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's so relatable. And I think people overlook the invisible labor of deciding what to eat. And it doesn't matter like neurotypical or not neurotypical, there's going to be these decisions are tiring. You're already making so many decisions throughout your day that having the decisions made ahead of time will make it easier for you. It's just, it's really hard to come up with a meal idea an hour before you have to eat while you're also doing calls, meetings, podcasts, you know, whatever else that you're doing. Exactly. Just don't let yourself like use that energy for what you really need it for, which is not always going to be food.
Yeah, exactly. And that intention of getting yourself ready, like having that ready for yourself, is really an act of self-care. And we can think about it as almost like a rule or a structure, but when it's in supportive of something that is aligned with your values and your needs, it is supporting you rather than it being reliant on an external expectation or rule, which is where I think there can be a lot of mix up. So I'd love to sort of transition a little bit into that fear that a lot of clients that I work with have, and listeners likely have, that meal prepping will just turn into a lot of rules of eat this, not that, having pre-portioned nonsense of how much you need to eat, or if you eat more than what you pre-portion, then somehow that's wrong. Can you speak a little bit to how one can address this fear with meal prepping? And if you've ever experienced this fear when you started transitioning to more of this intuitive eating approach?
I definitely did. I think I overdid a lot of overthinking about what I was making, right? What I was prepping for lunches in the earlier days, and getting out of that and being like, okay, I'm going to make mac and cheese. And that's not what I used to do, but I'm going to do it now. And I changed my own story of like, this is great. Like, I love mac and cheese and I'm going to enjoy it 3 days in a row with real cheese and regular pasta, not like the gluten-free stuff. I don't have celiac. Like, what am I doing?
You don't need to eat gluten-free.
Yeah. I once gave myself a gluten intolerance by eating gluten-free. So, and now I'm fine, but it, yeah. Anyway, so that was one way I did it. Just, I'm very much like someone who just learns by doing. I'm someone who feels the fear and does it anyway. If I'm scared of something, it probably means I should do it. I know not everyone's like that. I'm like, oh, that's just how I operate. But I would say have the mindset of you're testing it out. Come with curiosity and compassion, not judgment. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Focus on yourself. You know, don't compare. I think the curiosity thing is something I pulled from intuitive eating that helps here a lot. Like, what am I, do I like this? Is this working for me? How is it not working for me? What could be better? You know, that's that curiosity, and it will help a lot.
Yeah. And you learn as you go. I love that you highlighted that and learn by doing, because intuitive eating is not just impulsively making a decision. It's also using the quote unquote data you've gathered from getting curious along the way to say, hey, you know, last time that I just had this mac and cheese, I didn't feel great for the rest of the day. Or maybe it was tasty and delicious and fulfilling, feel good, but I would love to, you know, add a little gentle nutrition to this, to just kind of beef it up a little bit and add a little bit of, you know, nutritional value in there, whatever. And it doesn't make one thing good or bad or right or wrong. It's all about listening to your own body and those your own health values to make those decisions. And when it's really rooted in what feels right and aligned with you, you can really do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. You could put whatever you want in your container. It's just more about anticipating your needs. And with the fear, I think a lot of people, the fear comes from perfectionism and wanting to do it perfectly too, whether you're in a diet mindset or not. And people are worried about not liking it, especially with a new recipe. You know, people are worried about they're going to make it wrong or they won't like it. It's cooking requires so much experimentation. And like, yes, like food will be wasted sometimes. Sometimes you're not going to like it. And it's just par for the course. And it's what makes it fun. It's not, you know, if it's always perfect all the time, like, it's not fun. You're not going to learn anything.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And the other week I made a curry recipe. And once I had it, I realized like, it really could have used more coconut milk than what it called for. And I was like, wrote that in a note on the recipe that I had. And it's good to experiment like that with full permission to add something to make it just a little bit better. Old diet culture, Marissa probably would have been like, no, I can't do more coconut milk because I don't have more calories. I don't wear fat, blah, blah. Well, you know, I'll end up eating double of this one because it's not hitting the spot versus eating just, you know, whatever would be adequate and satisfying of the recipe that I make with double the coconut milk. And so just really having that permission to experiment and play around and trusting your own body signals in that way is key, I think, to being able to meal prep without that fear of the rules.
And not just body signals, but also like in your case, your taste, like your actual taste buds.
Which I guess is a body signal in a way, you know?
For me, I had this experience of, because I restricted like Chips Ahoy. Like that was like in the office, it was like there was like free Chips Ahoy, like cookie bags, whatever. And I was like, oh my God, I can't have them. And of course, every day I had one. And then as I started to get more into the intuitive eating mindset and being like, okay, if I'm going to have a cookie, I want it to be like a real, like a Levant, you know, like a good cookie, not necessarily Chips Ahoy. And so I started taking that approach. And then I went back to the Chips Ahoy. I'm like, these don't taste good at all. Like, why
isn't that so interesting?
Yeah. Like it's not, And of course I'll still have them. And it's like, oh yeah, these don't actually, they're, I would prefer a homemade cookie right now, like a big one. Right. Yeah. So I think our taste buds can tell us a lot.
Absolutely.
It's trust them.
Breaking free from those rules and allowing yourself to enjoy the cookie. And then when you actually do, you're like, wow, why was I relying on these Chips Ahoy when I could have, you know, something homemade and
fresh? I don't know. Did you see that video of like on TikTok, someone say like, have the cookie and crumble it into your yogurt, like granola. If you want to have the cookie and like make it quote unquote healthy, you can have it with yogurt. So it's balance. And I'm like, no, what?
Just have the cookie
and the yogurt.
You can have them. You can have them together. You can have them separate. Yeah. Interesting. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah. All the comments were like that, where, you know, people, the jig is up, you know?
Yeah. It's just sort of like, are you saying to actually just eat the cookie, or are you trying to healthify it? And you know, healthifying quote unquote things can be part of intuitive eating, but when it's like, oh, if you're going to enjoy the cookie, it has to be balanced. That can just become just as dangerous.
I agree. I had to like stop eating foods associated with diets, like zoodles and I don't know, certain recipes. Like, oh yeah, we have a recipe called the Shake Shack bowl. And I know that a Big Mac bowl is kind of one of those like low carb, like recipes, but it's like actually what we made ours with fries. So, I don't know. But like having to kind of come back to these foods, being like, no, maybe just this time the texture of zoodles seems satisfying. And I'll also probably mix it with pasta because zucchini is not pasta. But yes, you know,
it is very much not pasta.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I saw one of your posts about your meal prep, I don't know, goals or intentions for the year. And you mentioned some nutritional principles like prioritizing fiber and like adding more fiber to your meals. So how can one prioritize that principle of intuitive eating, of gentle nutrition, while they're meal prepping without it falling into diet culture and the black and white rules?
Well, yeah. I mean, for me, I've struggled with constipation my entire life, like from when I was a little baby. So I absolutely, like if I don't pay attention to fiber, I don't have to pay like close attention. I'm not counting anything. I'm not weighing anything. I'm not, you know, but I do think it's like, did I eat any fruit today? Like, yes or no, you know, and then I can make a decision based on that information that is not judgmental and comes from a place of, it's going to be good if I eat fruit today because I don't want to be constipated.
Yeah. I love that.
It's very simple.
It's rooted in a health value that is honoring your specific body, and you're doing it for a reason that you want to be able to feel good with your digestion, right? And so I do the same thing with water. I'm not very good at drinking enough water throughout the day to not feel dehydrated, and I actually get it when I lay down for bed if I don't. So it's like being mindful of, hey, have I finished this water bottle yet? Like how many water bottles have I had today? Like, you know, maybe I should just chug a glass of cold water right now just to get some hydration going is absolutely just a gentle way of prioritizing certain nutritional value without it like having some sort of moralization or causing you to feel like a failure or needing to show you some sort of like very external result in order for it to feel good enough. You know, we can engage in health promoting behaviors to support our body and not be kind of pursuing like an external result.
Yeah, you're not a bad person for not drinking enough water that one day. You're not a good person for drinking enough. You just showed up for yourself. That's, you know, that's it.
Yeah. And then the days that you don't drink enough water, eat enough fiber, you learn from the consequence of the Charlie horse or the constipation. Yeah. Like, that's my body telling me, you know, that maybe it would be helpful for me to prioritize that.
Yeah,
I really appreciate you sharing that perspective of just, you know, thinking about what would support you as an individual.
Yeah. So back to how to put that in a practical way. So when I make a meal plan for the week, which I do every Friday, I sit down and I look at what I have and what I want to make. And I always think like, what haven't I had in a while? And I make sure like, okay, what am I shopping for? What's my shopping list? Like, and I make sure that every recipe I kind of zoom out. I'm like, what am I eating? And I look for the variety is what I'm trying to say in the nutrients. So it's not like I'm trying to hit a goal. There's no numbers. It's just a visual of what am I eating and is this covering the bases?
Yeah. And when you do your meal prepping, do you pre-portion things? Do you just make batches of all the big ingredients and then portion it in the moment? How does that work?
So I like to make complete meals. So that means the recipe is just done and everything is in their own container, because I don't want to fuss with things. I want to take it out of the fridge, throw it in the microwave, eat, and then throw it in the sink and move on. That's, I don't want to like put things on my plate and assemble. I just want to, you know, I'm on the go.
Then there's me who's a little bit like the opposite, where I like to just have all the ingredients prepped and then it's time for lunch and I can decide that day, do I want a little more rice? Do I want a little less rice? Instead, do I want to put this in a tortilla instead of having it in a salad or whatever it is? Because my preferences change pretty frequently. I very much like variety and things to keep me on my toes, but I like convenience. But I know not everyone even has the ability to do that because I work from home, but that really, I kind of, it shows like you can just make it what it needs to be for you.
And I want to reiterate, that's not every meal. That's just lunch and breakfast Monday through Friday. And on weeknights, I usually cook. I usually do like the cook one night, eat leftovers the next day, then cook. Or I go out, you know, on weekends, I just kind of work through leftover ingredients in my fridge. There's no plan. I'm just kind of throwing things together. So the Monday through Friday breakfast lunch thing really works for me. Mm-hmm. And if I want to meet a friend for lunch, I can eat that meal prep for dinner. I can like move things around. So just know that you can decide how you want to eat certain meals based on the situation and how much time and energy you have.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do if you decide you don't want something that you prepped?
So in Seattle, compost is citywide. So and also as a recipe developer, I am often in surplus of food. I don't live with anyone. So I eat compost a lot, and that's just the reality. I'm not going to like sugarcoat that, you know?
Yeah.
I do free stuff too. And I do feed my friends. Yeah.
I forgot if I asked that question on the live or if that was something I already asked here, but I already asked that. Did I ask you about on this for the podcast? We'll cut those out. But did I ask for the podcast what people can do to...
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Change up their meals. Okay. Because
change up their meals? No.
Like change you up their meals if they have something prepped, but then they decide.
We didn't really get into it.
Didn't get into it.
No.
Okay. We'll go from there.
I just talked about like what to do if you don't like something, which is like donate, throw out, freeze. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Well, we can just go skip over that because I think that covers it. Anyways, I'm just like going to go there. And then I was like, did I already ask you that? It's hard when we do it back to back like this. Oh man. Anyway. Okay. Okay. I think I know where I wanted to go. So for someone who is just getting started with meal prepping, what is a beginner tip that you would give them?
Oh, great question. So the beginner tip, and listen carefully, this is like, if there was a rule, this would be it. Just make one batch meal. Just choose one soup, chili, curry, casserole, and make it for the week. Don't try to do breakfast, lunch, dinner. Don't try to do multiple recipes. Just do one recipe. And then once you get, see how it goes. Like, this is an experiment. If it's your first time, if you're a beginner, does it work for you? Do you have time for it? Like to do it on a weekend or a free weeknight. Then once you figure that out, you can add breakfast, add a dinner, add snacks if you want. I don't prep snacks, but some people like to. So just start with one though, please, please. Yeah.
Keeps it from getting overwhelming. Definitely.
If you get overwhelmed the first time, you're not going to do it again.
Exactly.
So it's
ease
into it.
Definitely. Do you prep on the same day every week? Is that something that you recommend for people to follow?
Well, I prep on Sundays mostly. I really enjoy I really make it fun for myself. I watch TV. I listen to audiobooks and podcasts like this one. You know, I have like my comfy slippers on and like comfy clothes. And if it's in the evening, I'll have, you know, maybe a beer or some other beverage. So I make it like a fun little me time event, or I'll talk to my mom, you know. So I do it. Yeah. That's kind of how I treat meal prep. Also, you know, for my job, I'm like filming and I'm also producing content, which is you probably not so much listening, but yeah. But then also during the week, I do one night where I'll prep. I recommend usually on Sunday, you prep for Monday to Wednesday. And then Wednesday night, you can do the rest of the week so that you're not eating something that you made on Sunday on Friday. I'm okay with that. Some people aren't okay with it. So it's like, you can break it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that for me, I try to be like, okay, I'm going to do it every day on Sunday or whatever, but my plans change. Sometimes I, you know, go out of town, or like I spend the weekend at my boyfriend's parents' house or whatever it is. And so for me, I try to be like, oh, I'm going to do it on Sundays. But half the time I think it falls into, you know, the weekday, but then I batch sort of like prepping four other meals together. Like when I was actually making your recipe the other night, the chorizo sweet potato black bean skillet, I prepped the chicken for the your favorite spinach Greek salad, because I was going to make that the next day for lunch. And so when I did that, it just made it so much easier to not feel like, you know, I was making the dinner for that night, the sweet potato black bean skillet, but prepping the chicken for the next day. So while that was simmering for 15 minutes, I got the chicken ready and it all went together really smoothly. And so
that's an amazing strategy. It's like if you're already cooking and you kind of have to wait for something to bake or something to simmer. Yeah, it's like chop some other stuff, you know, make some overnight oats. That's usually what I do. I usually make some overnight oats while that's happening. And yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, we actually made, with the spinach Greek salad, we put them in the pita. So we made it like a salad, but we put them in the pita because we're like, we need like more of like a sandwich or something like that. It's so, so good.
I'm so glad. It's like one of my favorites.
My boyfriend, I'm not joking. This is not me just, you know, gassing you up or anything. He said that was one of the best lunches he's had in like probably 6 months, he said.
Wow. Yay.
He really loved it. Yes, he loved it a lot. He loves like anything Greek with like olives and all that. And the dressing was super good. So we really
Let me just tell you, like the bar of like, if your partner likes it, that's like a huge, but it doesn't matter if you like it. If your partner likes it, then it's
every time I make something, I'm like, is it good? Do you love it? Like, tell me you love it. And so that one, I was like, oh, great. I got to feel like I got the credit for it, but it was all you and your recipe.
Oh my God. That's so funny.
Yeah. But that's kind of how I like to meal prep multiple meals is I'll make one in the moment for dinner and then I'll prep for, you know, the next few days or the next few lunches or things like that. Cause when I try to do like, oh, all the lunches or dinners for the week, that can get overwhelming for me personally. But I also like that you were describing how you just do a couple for the week. It's not like you prep every single meal every single day.
No. And I would say for listeners, I always talk about there are many, many, many ways to do this. So start with like one kind of approach, but please customize it to your lifestyle. Like it's different with kids, or it's different when have a job that you're more like on the go or traveling. It's like, start with maybe my way or your way, Marissa's way, like, and then please adapt it. Like you're not, there's no wrong way. It's just literally making food ahead of the time you're going to eat it. Whatever that for a lot of people, that is just cooking dinner every night and having leftovers for lunch the next day. And that's the pattern. That's great. There's no wrong way to do it.
Taking away those external expectations of what something should or shouldn't be, I think is really the premise of rejecting diet culture, but it also sounds like it is aligned with this flexible intuitive eating approach to meal prepping.
Yeah. Yeah. Like my company, like we're just here kind of to help guide people in the right direction of what foods work for this. I don't care what changes people are making. I don't care what's there. I just want to guide people like, this is what freezes well, this is what reheats well, here's how to reheat it. That's kind of our lane and we stick really hard in there. So
I love that. Well, I feel like this hopefully normalized the approach to meal prepping for the listeners here today, where they don't have to be pre-portioned and pre-structured and ticking a lot of boxes, but rather fun and flexible. So really appreciate you sharing with the listeners just all about work week lunch and how they can get started meal prepping. If we could leave the listeners with one inspirational, empowering thing that they can take from this conversation, what would you say is the most supportive in honoring your body with meal prepping? What about that do you feel like is supportive for you as an intuitive eater?
I always say it's like taking care of future you, and then like current you can thank previous you that did this. It's like, especially when you're having a stressful time, rough time, things are generally stressful in life, which sucks, but just being able to take care of your future self and reducing that stress is so, it just feels like you're giving yourself a hug, you know? It's like, so I made this sweet, meal for future you.
I love that. So
it's like, it's self-love too, you know?
100%. It's an act of self-care to prepare for the ease, the convenience, the satisfaction that future you will really appreciate. I love the way you put that. I feel like that was a great, great way to wrap this up.
Awesome. Yeah, this is fantastic. Yeah,
absolutely. Well, I appreciate all of your tips. Where can the listeners find you?
Yeah, at WorkWeekLaunch on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, all that. And then the website is workweeklaunch.com. We have a lot of free resources and recipes, as well as, of course, the cookbook and a paid subscription. But there's plenty of stuff for free on the site that you can use to get started.
Yay, I love it. And I'm loving your cookbook. So I'm super appreciative of you sending it to me. And yay. You know, I'll keep you updated definitely and share photos of all the recipes I try, especially because for me, being a dietitian, people think I'm a great cook and I love to develop recipes. I don't, and I'm not a good cook. And I literally could eat like buttered pasta for every meal of every day if it made me feel good, but it doesn't. And so I appreciate how simple and like easy to follow these recipes are. Like, I don't know if you have a recipe in here that's more than like 35 minutes or 40 minutes. And I really enjoy that.
Yes. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Of course. Thanks everyone for listening. And a big thanks to Talia for joining me for this episode. Like I mentioned in the episode, Talia did send me her Work Week Lunch cookbook, and I love it. I've already cooked a handful of the recipes. My boyfriend's obsessed with it, and it's just been really helpful to make simple, delicious, health-conscious meals that are also balanced and tasty, because we're all about that satisfaction here at Behind the Binge. Obviously, you know that's what I preach. And I just know that you'll enjoy it too. So I will link everything you need to find Talia's work and find the cookbook in the show notes below. It's very realistic and it just doesn't have all of that diet culture bullshit that you're used to finding inside of a cookbook or meal prep program. If you are listening right now and you're currently struggling with your relationship with food and stuck in a diet binge cycle, and you can't even imagine meal prepping when it doesn't have to do with counting calories or macros, I'd love to invite you to my group coaching program, Behind the Binge Academy. This is my signature group coaching program where you will learn how to ditch the diet mentality, overcome binge eating, attune to your body, and trust your body again so that you can be an intuitive eater and create a healthful life without all the guilt, stress, and obsession. I'd love to see you inside. It is only open until next Monday. So if you'd like to get started on this journey to food freedom with the support and guidance of a registered dietitian, as well as a community of peers who will be doing it right with you so you never have to be alone again, and I would love for you to apply. The link to apply will be in the show notes, or you can go to behindthebinge.com/academy, and I will see you inside. Thanks everyone for listening, and I will catch you in the next one. Bye.